Oh, hi!
Hey, Ashley.
How's it going?
It's good.
Hey guys, it's Ashley from Nutrition, and I am here today with Georgie Fear, and we are talking about her new book, Lean Habits for Lifelong Weight Loss. Check it out.
So I'm so stoked about your book. Can I just tell you, I loved reading it.
Oh, I'm so happy.
It's really, really cool to see this. People aren't used to a non-diet weight loss book out on the market, are they?
No, they're definitely not.
So we know diets don't work. What would you say makes your book different from everything out there that doesn't work?
I think it's groundbreaking in its painlessness.
Yeah.
There seems to be an almost linear correlation with the efficacy and suffering of the diet industry. More effective things really suck, you know?
That's what they'd like to say, right?
Yeah. And it's, I want to just drive this book in the middle of that and just wedge the two apart. You don't have to do things that make you physically uncomfortable or mentally or emotionally, you know, really require a ton of you. You know, there's no points for suffering. You can lose weight without a lot of the discomfort. And the one habit at a time approach specifically is really helpful for people who have just burned themselves over and over by doing, you know, gung-ho life overhauls, you know, type of interventions.
Mm-hmm.
And it really reflects more of the natural way of learning things. Now, if you watch, you know, you have a small child and
yes.
You don't, take your child out of the womb and then have them like running the next day. Like there's a natural development to the way that we learn things. And it's a gradual over time course.
I love that analogy. I love that way of, I've never thought of it that way before. Cause you're right. I mean, I'm, you know, trying to teach, well, we're going to these mom and baby swim classes right now, which really is just him getting in the water and like playing and having fun. But It's true. Like I couldn't just dunk him in the water and say, okay, learn to swim. You know, that would be irresponsible and horrible. But at the
abusive.
Same time, what's that?
Abusive.
Yeah, exactly. But at the same time, why is it okay for, you know, people who work in the weight loss and health industry to say, okay, you know, we're going to throw you into the deep end of the pool and hope you survive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I think a lot of, good examples can be paralleled to how we raise our children. I hate to compare people to animals, but how we train our pets. If you have a little puppy, you know, and the puppy does something you don't want it to do, for example, like the parallel would be, you know, yourself eating, you know, chips on the couch, even when you know it's not something that you want to do. The way we would treat our puppy would be like, oh, no, don't do that. Here, don't chew on that electric cord. You could get hurt. Let me give you something that's, you know, better.
Yes.
But with ourselves, we're like, bad, stupid, fat ass. This is why you're a failure. And we're like,
yep.
So mean. So, if there's something that comes through, I think this is a book about love described, you know, like hidden under the guise of nutrition coaching.
Oh, I love that. That gives me the warm fuzzies just to hear that. And I totally agree. It definitely is. So what about, I know a lot of people, especially readers of my blog who have tried dieting, it didn't work. So their next step was, let's try intuitive eating. And I can say, this is definitely not an intuitive eating book. What's the difference between what you do and intuitive eating?
Oh my God, that's such a good question. I love it. Intuitive eating has a place. For people that don't know, intuitive eating can be summed up as using your body signals and intuition to more or less eat when you feel like eating and stop when you feel like stopping.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very effective, and evidence backs up that it works well in helping people come out of eating disorders where their relationship with food has been anything but eating when they want to eat and stopping when they want to stop.
Mm-hmm.
One of the challenges and criticisms of the intuitive eating paradigm is that while it can help repair someone's damaged relationship with food, it rarely, if ever, results in weight loss.
So true.
So if someone has a co-occurrence, they have a crappy relationship with food, and they have excess weight that they want to lose, they don't want to have to choose, like, do I fix my relationship with food or do I lose weight, potentially worsening my relationship with food. So sometimes my clients will say, is this like intuitive eating? You know, you get to the, you know, sensing your hunger and kind of de-arming hunger as this non vicious sensation, is safe and you know, feeling some hunger on a regular basis. And then they read the chapter on eating just enough and how to stop when you're feeling satisfied. And those two do sound similar to intuitive eating. But then it gets into some more of the biology of really maximizing your physical appetite satisfaction per calorie, which is something that I think intuitive eating doesn't offer.
Yeah. I think this is where your book really, really shines, is really separating out, okay, here's how I eat in a way that supports my goals, and here's how I do it without feeling restricted.
Awesome. I'm glad that that came through for you, because that's just making me smile ear to ear right now.
It truly is. And I think you're right. There's too much of this feeling of like, there's one or the other. Like we can either have a healthy relationship with food or we can lose weight. And I love, because your book is the first one out there that shows that it doesn't have to be that way.
I like to think of it as you don't want to eat just by your head. Which I would almost describe as one of the issues in orthorexia.
Yes.
Like, I'm just eating according to what I know is healthy.
Yes.
You also kind of want to sometimes eat by your stomach and your heart. By that I mean, like, for your appetite and your desires. Like, everybody needs to have a daily quota of enjoyment.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree. Correct me if I'm wrong, but part of me feels like weight loss is kind of turning into a taboo topic for people in the fitness industry, even.
I get what you're saying, and that is definitely an undercurrent that with the rise of body acceptance has almost become a fit shaming side of, like, people that want to lose weight. Or like, I can't, like, it can seem like an inferior goal to some people.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's your take on this?
I think that it's a good thing to love your life, and it's a good thing to love how your body looks and feels and functions. And when people eat and live according to certain healthy habits, like the ones that I teach and I try to, you know, philosophy I promote, the body tends to end up healthy. If they have excess weight, it tends to come off.
Nice.
Conversely, if somebody's been dieting too hard and is maintaining a body weight that is just too low, that it's not supporting their happiness, they tend to actually come to a more stable, healthy body weight by, you know, actually eating enough.
You know, I totally get that. And I've seen actually quite a few online fitness professionals moving that direction. I don't know if you've seen this too lately. People who used to teach by meal plans and strict dieting, they've allowed themselves to live more of a life and given their tribe permission to do so too.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. I wouldn't say that it should be a goal for anyone to lose weight. Or that it shouldn't be a goal for anyone to lose weight. I think,
yeah,
you know, everybody's free to want what they want. And I mean, the pursuit of happiness is one of, like, the founding American principles. Like, you can pursue what you want. A lot of times people will realize that losing weight is not actually what they wanted.
Yeah.
And they'll revise their goals kind of midway through the journey.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. It's hard for me because I see some people out there who are really into, like, size acceptance and saying just love your body as it is, which means don't try to lose weight. And other people who are kind of trying to buy into that, but at the same time they're like, but I'm not quite comfortable in my body. And it's kind of like there's a little bit of that shame in, but I want to change. And I think it's okay for people to feel free to want to change as long as they're doing it in a way that's supporting their whole life and is going to work in the long term, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. And I'd I hear that too, that, you know, people take the body acceptance as like status quo acceptance, which I don't think it is.
Yep.
I think body acceptance is like the first rung on the ladder of, you know, building a healthy self-respect and self-esteem and eventually self-love. And I think when people love themselves, it's really hard to justify maintaining a body that's anything less than as healthy as you can be. Now, we're not talking aesthetics, but if somebody is, let's say, 100 pounds overweight, it's not health at any size. I'm sorry. It's, you know, disease risk at certain sizes.
Yes. Thank you. I feel like it's almost harder to say that nowadays than, like, that's a hard stand to take. That's a hard position to take.
Yeah, and I'm open to the hate mail. Please feel free, you know, you can send me dissenting opinions. That's my opinion, that and you can't be healthy at any size. You can love yourself at any size, but I think when people fall in love with themselves, just like when they fall in love with someone else, they want to do the best for that person, not in a transactional or goal-oriented sense, but in a natural outflow of care.
That's so true. I love the way you phrase that. That's awesome.
Cool.
So what about the people who feel like they've tried everything? They've maybe lost weight on a diet before and they're stuck, they're struggling, and they look at this book and say, oh no, not another weight loss book. What would you say to these people who are almost feeling defeated, like they're not going to be able to do it?
Everyone who works with me, is their track record would indicate no success so far. Because it's almost like when you go into a dating relationship, every past relationship you have had has ended in failure.
Yep.
That's just the way it works, because as soon as we find one that's successful, we stay in it.
Yeah.
So we're effectively out of the market. So it's almost the same thing with weight control. Like, every person has a track record of failure until they find something that works. Many people do find things that work. You know, we can see examples of lost people on the National Weight Control Registry, for example, who did probably try dozens of things themselves, and eventually they do find one that works. And then they move on to doing other things with their life, like being grandmothers and winning quilting competitions.
That does bring up an interesting point, though. I saw an article on Slate the other day talking about weight loss maintenance. And it was actually a friend brought it up to me. And she said, you know, this is really discouraging. I don't think I'm going to ever be able to lose weight. But the article was saying that it was giving the example of this woman who feels like maintaining her weight loss is a full-time job. And to me, that's so sad.
Yeah, I wouldn't. It means there's a lot of things missing if maintaining your weight loss is a full-time job.
Yeah.
But that's kind of why, I guess that's why I like the habit-based approach. Because, breathing is a full-time job. Like, I have not taken a break from breathing for years. But it's so automatic that it's really not taking my willpower or consciousness, or it's not taking anything from me. It's, you know, leaving me with my full mental and emotional capacity to do other stuff. So I think healthy habits become the same way. If we view it as work, it feels like a never-ending job. If we view it as rewarding and, you know, an act of love that just seems natural. Like, when we have esteem for ourselves, we want to treat ourselves well. I can understand weight loss can seem like a full-time job.
But what you're saying is, with a habit-based approach, it becomes more automatic.
Yeah. And it feels good.
Yes. So let's talk about the core four habits. So your book is divided into pretty much two sections. The core four habits and all the rest of the habits, which are all amazing. But what makes these so important?
I think these are the the real foundations that often people skip, and when people skip them, they can end up expending a lot of energy and effort, but not getting appropriate returns in terms of results. For example, a lot of people will, you know, be familiar with what it's like to try and, you know, avoid particular foods, like, okay, cut out my sugar, or cut out processed foods, or cut out meat, or cut out dairy, or go paleo. But it doesn't work for weight loss if you're still eating past satisfied.
Mm.
So that'd be one of the most common things. Another one is a lot of people, they almost laugh when we're talking on the phone, and I'll bring up the idea of feeling hunger. And they'll say, I have done every diet in the world, and no one has ever really mentioned before that feeling hunger for, you know, a certain dosage of time would be appropriate.
Yeah. It's almost like the diet expects you to be hungry all the time, but to ignore it.
Or they make false promises that you can never be hungry and lose weight. And generally, I have not found that to be true, barring, you know, drug intervention or health problems.
Yeah, or habits so important. So it sounds like no matter what else is going on with your life, these are the four things to always focus on.
Yeah, if you get one of these wrong, it can really sabotage getting any results. If we look at what the core four are, if you're eating when you're not hungry, you can do everything else right, and that can be a deal breaker. If you're eating to stuffed every time you eat, same thing. You can never make any progress, even if you do everything else right. The other two, if you're eating 15 times a day, or even 6 or 7 times a day.
Oh my gosh.
You can never overeat and take in too many calories to lose weight.
Yeah.
And then the last one is, if you eat lots of processed food, you can trick your body. So all those really, really, they're really important, and missing just one of those can kind of bun you up a bit.
I love that you put those right front and center, because it really is these two principles of listen to your body for hunger and satisfaction and eat mostly unprocessed foods. But the difference is you go on to give such good explanations of how to do it. Say someone goes through the books, does the habits, incorporates them into their lives, and this is someone that does have weight to lose. What does that look like? How fast do they lose the weight?
Most people that incorporate these habits into their life, they can expect to lose 1/2 to 1 pound a week until they reach a happy, healthy weight. You know, using hunger and satiety cues, you're not going to lose weight until you're a skeleton.
Yes.
You'll end up at a healthy, athletic, energetic spot for you. And then, you know, because people have different desired endpoints, you know, some people want to work a little harder and get leaner, then they can decide if they want to put a little more effort into the eating just enough side or taking their treats down a little bit more. But it's also quite common for people to say, you know, I'm good here. I don't have to look like a supermodel. I'm perfectly happy to just be healthy and at a low risk for any chronic disease. And you can really kind of customize it to be exactly what you want for your life.
Awesome. And you know what? It's really interesting, though, because when you say 1/2 pound to 1 pound a week, that sounds slow to some people. But let's put this in perspective. That's like 25 to 50 pounds a year.
It is. It is. And I had a client that lost like 52 pounds in a year on the nose. And I told her, like, okay, you are like the results typical person.
Yeah.
You just suffered it for an entire year. And she actually, you know, obviously not everyone has that much weight to lose, but it does tend to come off pretty linearly once we get into that sustainable calorie deficit.
As long as they're not weighing themselves every day, right? Because
yeah, that has a way of backfiring. I usually try and get people to weigh themselves once a week.
Yeah.
And to not focus on it. Because if they want to know, how am I doing, look at your habit tracker. That's what's going to tell you how you're doing. I defy you to do all of these habits and not lose weight.
Carl Sagan said that extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And here's the thing, Georgie has the evidence. If you look in her book, there are so many references to published clinical studies that back up everything she's saying. This book is the real deal, guys. So here it is, Lean Habits for Lifelong Weight Loss. It will be available in stores on April 7th and is available now on Amazon for pre-order. This is one you are not going to want to miss, guys.